Welcome back to Perfect Takes. I'm your host, Stephen Patton, joined as always by my co-host and dear friend, Jacob Acquire. And today we are diving in to back-to-back wins for the first time since, I think, Matt Rhule? No, actually last year. I apologize. We had back-to-back wins last year with the Saints and Giants. I'm getting ahead of myself. But it has been a minute since we've been able to string together successful victories. Obviously, we will have a lot to talk about pros and cons. How are you feeling? How was your victory Monday? Were you able to get a Krispy Kreme donut complimentary on the house?
I don't know if they do that anymore. They don't do the full dozen. I know that because in high school, that was my senior year of high school, we won 15 regular season games. So Krispy Kreme almost went bankrupt. If you don't know, Krispy Kreme originated here in North Carolina. And so that was like a thing with Panthers. Victory Monday, free dozen. They might still do a free donut now. I think it's a free donut.
Yeah. I wouldn't have minded that.
You know, maybe I'll have to go after one of these weeks, the next couple of weeks. But didn't get that. But a win. It's huge. Back-to-back wins. We are at 500 for the first time since week 10. Of 2021. Do you want to know what game that was?
That was the I'm back.
That was I'm back in Carolina, or excuse me, in Arizona, just whooping up on the Cardinals with Cam Newton. Since then, we hadn't been to 500 until now. And nobody believed, other than me, I picked the Panthers to win. Steven, unfortunately, picked the Cowboys. Everybody in the media picked the Cowboys. But I believed in Bryce Young and Rico Dowdle. And both of those guys played phenomenal. Dave Canales, I want to give him his flowers because we've rightfully criticized his tenure so far, but this was a statement win, in my opinion, his first statement win as the head coach of the Panthers. And to not punt on that final drive, we got the ball with 6 minutes left. They never touched the ball again, and Canales, instead of punting or attempting a 60-yard field goal or something, when it was fourth and four on their side of the field, decided to go for it. Bryce hits Hunter Renfrow on a quick slant. And we end up walking them down and getting the game winner at the end. How did you feel throughout this game? Because to me, after our first drive, there was never a moment where I thought we were going to lose this game.
I wasn't sure of the outcome until I would say some point in the fourth quarter, because it was a back and forth game. And those kind of scenarios, you never know who's going to end up with the ball last, how it's all going to play out. And so early on, kind of the back and forth had me feeling exactly the way I wanted to, because when we came on air, the big thing we talked about is we didn't want to come out flat. We wanted to see a team that was competitive from the time the whistle blew till the clock ended. And that's exactly what we got. And that's exactly the progress you want to see. And from Canales and praising him, he must be a Perfect Takes fan. I probably not, but we came on air last week and we said, hey, we needed to find a balanced approach and not put the onus on Bryce Young to constantly win it or drop back three consecutive times in a row, first, second, third down, that have some nuance and layers to keep the defense honest. And obviously the Cowboys are one of the worst defenses in the NFL right now, but you saw it from the offensive line getting pushed in the run game. You saw it from Bryce Young being able to dissect the defense, dropping back. And there were some nice plays on both sides of the ball. And it was stuff you can build on. And again, that's something that we haven't been able to talk about a lot this year. And the more that we're able to do that and go, hey, we aren't where we want to be, but we are heading in that direction. That is, I think, the story of the 2025 season. And that is where we're heading. So I'm excited. I'm on the hype train. But we have to take care of business this week. What are the things that we need to clean up from this Cowboys game moving forward?
Well, obviously, turning the ball over. Bryce Young had his government-mandated interception, as a lot of people on Twitter put it. And this time, it actually wasn't his fault. It reminded me of the Leggett one last year, where like perfect bucket drop, and then the corner just took it from Leggett. I got shades of that. It was just a quick slant play, maybe like a 10-yard slant in between a slant and a post, and T-Mac just let it go through his hands, and the safety ended up with it, and that resulted in a Cowboys score.
But then I'm shocked. That was the play it reminded me of. The one that it reminded me of was when Cam Newton tried to hit Kelvin Benjamin on a slant against the Chicago Bears, and they returned the pick six for a touchdown. I hated that game, but that was what came to mind watching that play.
There was a fumble six in that game too. Eddie Jackson, the former Bear safety, I guess a pick six and a fumble return six in that game. Former Bama player, by the way. But that play obviously can't happen. He is a rookie though. And then the Leggett lateral attempt at the end of the first half, which he did recover the second fumble on that play. I feel like we score a touchdown if the momentum just doesn't die on that drive. So if we can clean up the self-inflicted stuff on offense, we're humming, right? And then on defense, you look at this game, number one, you got to give the run defense credit. Over the last 2 weeks combined, the Panthers' opponents have rushed for 50 yards. They had 19 last week, which I think was the lowest the Panthers have ever allowed. And then 31 this week to Javonte Williams, who was averaging close to 100 yards per game. Jake Ferguson got shut down for the most part. He had one touchdown on a busted coverage. And then George Pickens, they kind of funneled the offense through him. He had an excellent day. Mike Jackson, I think, needs to play a bit more consistent. But overall, I thought the defense played really well. So what do we have to clean up? Self-inflicted mistakes. There weren't very many penalties that were real penalties, I'll say. The Cowboys got bailed out quite a few times. Clean up the mistakes. Play within our game. Don't try to hook and ladder. And then the defense, we got to find some way to mix more man coverage in there. That way J.C. Horn can travel with the number one receiver. But other than that, I was quite happy with this game as a whole.
So that final point there about J.C. Horn, and obviously we are not a team that likes playing cover one. We are a team that likes playing a lot of cover three looks, which has shades of that with these boundary cornerbacks that kind of take care of the primary X wide receiver. And in this case with George Pickens, it seemed like Mike Jackson was the guy that was primarily responsible for Pickens in coverage. And he was just getting torched on these in-breaking routes. And that's just something that you got to figure out schematically, whether it's keeping your secondary kind of tight and bunched together before the snap to see where Pickens goes. And it's one thing if you motion him to another side and you don't want J.C. Horn to kind of follow to break some of your kind of coverage rules. That's fair, but I didn't feel like Pickens was getting motioned all over the field. It seemed like they knew where Horn was going to be breaking the huddle, and Evero kind of allowed this guy to be the guy that the offense funneled through. So George Pickens had himself a day, had a Jamar Chase kind of touchdown against Mike Jackson, kind of breaking on the inside and housing it for like a 50, 60 yard score. So That's stuff on the defensive end I want to see cleaned up. The two bright spots on that back end were supposed to be J.C. Horn and Mike Jackson. So whether or not it's Mike Jackson cleaning up some stuff or putting J.C. Horn on the main guy, we got to figure out a solution there. The run defense is solid. And I think to go on the offensive side of the ball, you look at what the offensive line is doing in the trenches. Those two units, are what is carrying this team and their current success. And we need to keep seeing that. So Turk Wharton's supposed to come back. Hopefully we get Robert Hunt back at some point. That only means those units could get stronger. And I think the results could only improve from there. So when we talk about the mistakes on offense, I think this is where Xavier Leggett, he started running backwards. Here's Rico Dowdle calling for the ball. At some point, you just got to realize the play's dead and over with. And that's a conversation you have in the locker room. These are minor things you can clean up. And then just the interception, the ricochet off the hands, you hate to see it. But I think a lot of the mishaps that we've seen, particularly from T-Mac's game, are these quick breaking routes where the ball is on him in no time. And I think he's still adjusting the speed of the game. So this isn't necessarily an excuse. It's more just, I think until he adjusts that speed, allow him to run a lot more of those deeper in-breaking routes, your more curl routes and ins, rather than these slant routes, because I don't know if he's got enough practice reps at the speed at which the NFL is played at to consistently make these plays, because that's where it seems like the miscues are happening. Whether you go to the preseason game with his first drop or this past week where it cost us an interception, giving Dallas the ball in pretty much a goal-to-go situation. So that's something you don't want to see moving forward, especially when we play the New York Jets, who have a few playmakers on the defensive side of the ball.
For sure, with T-Mac, you mentioned it's not his first, we'll call it a concentration drop. He's had probably five or six of those this year, and while you hate to see that, he also had his first touchdown and a second touchdown in this game. And this was the game in which he was targeted the least. I think he only had four targets Three catches, obviously, in the interception.
Wasn't the leading receiver for the first time all year in yards. You know who the leading receiver was?
Oh, was it another rookie, Jimmy Horn?
No, it was Rico Dowdle, the leading receiver and rusher.
On the one long touch. I was thinking Jimmy Horn because the first play out of halftime. It was funny. I don't know if you were listening to the game, but they always do the halftime interview, and the reporter interviewed Canales, and they're like, what do you have to do to keep this going? He said, we got to stick to the run. And then the first play, as the reporter saying that, is just a 40-yard play to Jimmy Horn or whatever it was before he stepped out. So a little funny anecdote there, but everybody got involved. Jimmy Horn, Mitchell Evans on the first drive, the rookie tight end, he had a 21-yard catch. I thought Bryce did probably his best performance since last year, pushing the ball downfield. I believe five passes of 20 or more air yards. But I mean, we were running all over him, so those lanes are going to be there. And speaking of running, we talked about Rico Dowdle, but we haven't sufficiently gassed him up enough, I don't think. This is what he's done the past 2 weeks. In the last 2 weeks, he has more scrimmage yards than Saquon Barkley, I think, all year is the stat. Something like that. Rico Dowdle currently leads the league in yards before and after contact. So give credit to the O-line for the yards before contact, but he's still the best after contact in the league. All of his runs this past week were 15 yards or less. So there were no huge gash runs to help boost that or anything. Dowdle is already third in the league in rushing yards. He started two games. I think it's Jonathan Taylor and maybe Derrick Henry, or maybe it's Bijan Robinson that's in second now. It was 2 weeks ago, I believe, that Dowdle had the most scrimmage yards in a game in franchise history. That's more than Christian McCaffrey ever had, more than Jonathan Stewart ever had, more than D'Angelo Williams ever had, more than like Steve Smith in his best games ever had. Rico Dowdle did it as a backup. So we got to give him his flowers because he has been balling the last 2 weeks.
He said coming into this year, he felt faster than he did last year. This guy was a 1,000-yard rusher behind a questionable Cowboys offensive line, but I don't think it's near the offensive line that we're seeing underneath the offensive coordinator this year, coming from Arizona as their offensive line coach. So you see an improvement in the trenches in their run game. And so Dowdle didn't get that boost. He finally gets a starting opportunity with Chuba Hubbard out, and he shows exactly why he got signed. I mean, the Panthers came out and said this offseason, like, hey, we like this tandem because it doesn't matter who's on the field between those two. The defense doesn't know if a runner pass is coming. And so I think with Chuba Hubbard getting healthy, mixing him in, especially with the MetLife turf coming up, and making sure that they're both having a 50-50 touch, because you could see at the end of that Cowboys game, him having to get massaged, especially around his calves, because he was just starting the cramp. And so lightening the load and allowing two very productive running backs opportunities, I think, is going to snowball itself into a very productive season. It's just a matter of finding how you balance the carries and the load.
Yeah, Trevor Etienne, the rookie running back, finished that drive to that point because Dowdle had ran the ball so much in that game. Both games, really. Etienne had to finish they were both game-winning drives in the last 2 weeks. I think you bring up a really good point that because we've been able to over the past couple of weeks run and pass out of the same look, Bryce Young's played under center a lot more, and we've run from the shotgun a lot more. I think that opens up so much more that you can do in terms of running, play action, just regular drop back passing. And that was one of the critiques we had last season, is that it was all empty or all shotgun. So I love to see that so far. I don't want to like bring up the debate, like, does Dowdle start from now on or something like that? But I think this week in particular against the Jets, you still got to start him because he's the hot hand. You always got to ride the hot hand. Chuba's coming back. We don't know if he'll be back, but I think we can assume that he'll be ready for this game. And there's a reputation for the turf in the Jets and Giants Stadium at not being the best for soft tissue injuries. And if we don't have anything else to say about this Cowboys game, I think we can kind of move into the Jets game. Look, the Jets are 0-6, right? If they're not the worst team in the league, it's probably the Titans or something, right? They're one of the worst teams in the league. But the Panthers still haven't won on the road yet this year. So to me, this is a must-win game to follow up a legacy game from a statement game from Dave Canales in the offense and the defense how do you view this game and what are some of the keys you're looking for?
So I've mentioned this over the past like 5 or so minutes when we've been talking about the Cowboys, but they bring in the Arizona Cardinals offensive line coach. He's promoted their offensive coordinator, and he had 4 out of his 5 offensive line starters from week one out against the New York Jets in New York a couple weeks ago. They ran for 180 yards. Javonte Williams, I think, had over 130 in that game. That to me is the answer. Exactly what you've been doing the past 2 weeks, you need to keep doing, because this Jets defense is susceptible. Exactly. It's your mantra. This is the team identity since Jerry Richardson built the team back in the 1990s. Like, keep pounding. Like, you don't have to do anything besides that, because I think if you stick to the run game, it's going to open so much up for the rest of the offense. And maybe Sauce blankets T-Mac. He doesn't have a big day, but maybe that opens things up for a Jalen Coker potential return. Guys like Mitchell Evans. We saw how productive that Dave Canales has started to use running backs in the passing game in terms of these pretty much play action looks, where from that run, they're running a route and they're running to an open part. And it's cool. You have these clear out, like, in breaking routes, and Dowdle's right there. Oh, oh, oh,
O'Reilly. Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. There, I think Chuba Hubbard had a similar touchdown or a similar play in the first couple weeks. So seeing more of those designs. And then we saw a good screen pass this week to Xavier Legette. I want to see more of that, just like quick game, and just like after the defense starts realizing, like, hey, we need to generate pressure, that we're able to pull some of these levers and switches and gain explosive plays off of that. So stay on pace, find these avenues to have just quick passes that allows your playmakers and Jimmy Horn, Xavier Legette to get out in space. That's what I'm excited to see against the Jets, because I think that's the opportunity that we're going to have on Sunday, is to completely dominate the way we've been doing on offense. We just haven't done it on the road yet. So I think that's the big point. Like you said, can the offense do it on the road, what we've been doing at home?
And I think when you talk about how we attack their defense, this Jets defense is much better than both the Cowboys and the Dolphins, two of the worst defenses in the league. I know the Jets just lost to the Broncos, but the defense did their job in that game. They forced a safety. They limited the Broncos to, two field goals and a touchdown. In a Sean Payton offense, they limited that. And I think the individual talents are better. Quinnen Williams would be the best player on both the Dolphins and Cowboys defenses, right? Sauce Gardner's still a pretty good corner. They have good linebackers, opportunistic players. So sticking to our game, I think, like you're saying, it's going to be huge. Running the ball, keep pounding the rock. I agree with everything you're saying as far as our offense goes. I think it's a bit more nebulous, I say, how our defense is going to match up against this offense. And I say that because Garrett Wilson's probably going to be out, their number one receiver. The rest of the weapons are kind of an unknown. So, like, with the Cowboys, right, we had Dak, who prior to this game was probably one of the MVP favorites. George Pickens is a very good receiver versus Miami. Tua's accurate and gets the ball out on time. Jalen Waddle's a good receiver. They don't really have that kind of element in the passing game. The Jets don't. But they do have a strong running game. And I think Breece Hall, I think if Justin Fields can escape, I think that's where some stuff can happen. If you're worried about anything, what are you worried about on their offense, and how can our defense kind of contain that, bearing in mind that the Broncos just got 9 sacks on Justin Fields this past week?
So you want to see a lot of similar concepts that Vance Joseph probably uses. First off, the Broncos are a very like man-heavy team. And I think at some point, Evero needs to stop necessarily doing what he knows and loves, and just lean into the easy answer right here. Your guys are better than the guys across from you. Match up with them and force Justin Fields to beat you. And I think in that way, you can send blitz looks. You can do things that speed up Justin Fields and his processing, which seems to really be the big knock on his ability as a quarterback position, is the ability to process things quickly. So I think if you're able to speed up his clock, that is going to help you tremendously. So again, going into Evero's game plan, if we're talking about like the nitty gritty, it's those early downs. You want to see us loading the box, stopping the run, probably playing some zone on first and second down to kind of confuse and murk up what Justin Fields is looking at. But if we get them in those third and medium, third and long situations, we need to be playing man and we need to be sending pressure. Because like you said, the Broncos were able to get him down 9 times. We need to be getting him down on the ground about 4 or 5 times this week. And I think if we can do that, like even if he gets a couple scrambles, he's able to beat a couple of our linebackers to the perimeter. They're able to use some things to gain some leverage and a number advantage in the blocking game. They might be able to reel off a couple runs, but with how sound we've been in the trenches the past couple weeks, that is not necessarily my concern. It's really putting the ball in Justin Fields' court and saying, hey, if you're going to beat us, you got to go win this game with your arm. And I think that is what Evero needs to lean into, because I think he'll create more mistakes that way than trying to stick necessarily to his identity.
I agree. I think you don't need to disguise anything really, but you need to mix some stuff up when it comes to your coverages, your rushes, yeah, stuff like that. I'm looking at the receiver room right now for the Jets, and Josh Reynolds, Arian Smith, who's a rookie, and Tyler Johnson, I think, are their top three receivers, with Garrett Wilson hurt, with Lazard presumably hurt. He's in the red on Our Lads for what it's worth. And then rookie Mason Taylor, I think, has been pretty good for a second-round tight end. So those are the weapons we're going to have to limit there. I think this is going to be very run-heavy. I think Fields is going to – this might be like a last-effort kind of game from Fields based on how he played last week. I think Tyrod Taylor probably brings more as a passer at this point, so – Fields might be fighting for his job. I know the New York media was pretty incensed on asking Aaron Glenn this past week about quarterback changes and stuff like that. So I think Fields is going to try to play his heart out, going to do everything he can to win this game. So to me, it is about limiting his run ability and just cleaning up. Do what you've been doing, right? Breece Hall is an incredible running back, but he's not anything that we haven't seen and Javonte Williams or Devon Achane the past 2 weeks, right? Like, just do your job. Do what you've been doing. Keep pounding. And I think the Panthers should have a decent chance in this one.
Yeah, I think so too. I found it hilarious when Justin Fields made the comment after the game against the Broncos, and he was like, it's only week 6. Like, yeah, you're only, what, a 5-year quarterback at this point? And well, like, you haven't been able to land like a starting
It's only week 6, but it's also 0-6 to this point. Like, There needs to be more urgency, I think, within that whole organization. I don't know if you saw this game or watched the whole game, but there were several moments in this game where I thought that this wasn't an NFL caliber organization. I think about like before halftime when they are lined up on, we'll call it midfield. They're lined up with 20 seconds on the clock. The clock is running. It's a fourth down. And they don't even attempt to get a playoff, stuff like that. Or on the final drive when you can probably attempt a long field goal. By the way, their kicker hit his career long a week ago. You can probably attempt that, but instead they give it to Fields to, I guess, try the Hail Mary this time, and he gets sacked a couple times. Just very poor decision-making, I think. And hopefully we can take advantage of that. This could be, we were talking about, this could be kind of a trap game. Like, this is a game the Panthers are supposed to win but might not be able to. That's why I think this is so pivotal that you go on the road, get your first road win of the season, and win 3 games in a row for the first time since, I want to say, Rule's second season. That same year that we were 500, it would have been that season.
We started 3-0 that year, so it makes absolute sense. And like that's where I don't want to get caught up in this 3-3. It's like, yeah, we're clearly a beast to deal with at home, but when we go on the road, we look lost against Jacksonville. We were lethargic for half a game against the Cardinals, and we didn't show up in New England. So it's one of these games that obviously you look at the Jaguars, you look at the Patriots right now, they're some of the better teams in the AFC from a record standpoint. You feel a little bit better about those losses. And with the Cardinals game, you've seen their collapses in the second half. You knew you almost had a shot to win that game. You don't feel as bad about those losses in hindsight. But this Jets team, like, they're as bad as their record states, and you have to take advantage of that. This cannot be one of those games where you think you have it in the bag, you take it a little light in the week, and then you get sucker punched in the mouth on Sunday, because guess what? You're facing other grown men that are getting paid millions of dollars to play the same game. Like, sometimes they just show up and outplay you. And so that can't happen. Dave Canales and his staff needs to outcoach Aaron Glenn and his staff. And that is what I'm going to be more paying attention to, because from a talent standpoint, there is no reason, as long as we do our due diligence and preparation, that we don't walk out of New York with a win.
I think that's a good point. Not necessarily out coaching, but I think we need to be out preparing the Jets. They're at home. They're coming off of an international game, and they don't have a bye week. So there's going to be a little bit of lag there as it pertains to their early week practicing, I would imagine. And if we can, it might not be a preparation thing, but if we can lock in and play on the road like we do at home, we could be sitting at 4-2 right now with the Cardinals win. Right. So with that in mind, I think we're ready to get into takes territory, unless you had anything else about the Jets. And my take, do you have something?
Well, that's like, so with the direction of the Jets, you're 0-6, you're Aaron Glenn. And this is just something I want to shoot out for the audience, because like, we don't really talk about like around the NFL. We just saw Brian Callahan get canned in Tennessee. He obviously got a second year. With Aaron Glenn, what are you looking to see the rest of the year? Because like, outside of the Bucs game and the Steelers game at home, this is a team that has struggled to stay competitive in a lot of games. Obviously, the Broncos game, you only lose by 2 points, but putting 11 points on the board really isn't much to write home about.
Well, if you pull up the Jets' schedule, their next three games, all right, the Carolina Panthers, the Cleveland Browns, and the Cincinnati Bengals. After that, you're going to get into the games where you're not going to be favored. If they don't win probably two out of those three, it's very, very murky for the Jets to where they might not win until teams are resting their starters, like in week 17 and 18. So I think you really need to hone in.
Do you think he loses the locker room? Like, if say for some reason during that stretch they lose those games, like, do you have a vote of confidence to go, hey, like, we have a top five pick. We still believe in you as a head coach.
Well, it's, that situation is weird because Glenn was hired as the head coach before they hired Muji, the GM?
Yep.
Glenn was hired before that. So they're like Glenn helped select that GM. So I don't know if they fired Glenn, I feel like they would have to change the entire organization. And, you know, maybe that's for the better if you land the first overall pick and try to get a franchise QB. But it would be an awfully rough turnaround to have to remake the organization within one calendar year after some people, and me included, I thought that they had the infrastructure to be like a mid team because they have a good run game and supposed to be a good defense, but the passing game has been so poor outside of that Steelers game. You could say the Bucs game too, but Tyrod Taylor was starting. The passing game has been so poor and there have been so many mistakes that it doesn't matter how well you run the ball and how good the defense is, they just can't do anything. It's like if we played the Cowboys this week and Bryce didn't have 200 yards and three touchdowns, that's what the Jets team is. Their defense is a little bit worse. It's like, obviously the run game was the big part of that, but Bryce was also, he had a perfect 10 for 10, 150 yards, three scores when we were trailing. Like, he did his job, but, and Fields isn't doing his for the Jets. So I don't know, like, I don't think Glenn can survive a 2-11 or not two, like 2-15 season or anything. But if Glenn and his group want to survive this year, you have to stack wins in these three games, which is why I think we can't look at this game as a gimme game. Everything is on the line for the Jets, right? And yep, as fans, we're like, oh, we're 500 for the first time in 4 years. This is, we're going to the playoffs. You got to take care of what's in front of you. The Jets are thinking the same thing. And so yep, that's kind of my mindset here. That's why I say it's a must win, because this, coming off a statement game against the Cowboys, it's an even bigger statement to put to bed a team that theoretically you should be beating in their own house. That's my thoughts on that game. And getting into the takes from that, or my take at least from that, I think that the Panthers shock the world, do the impossible, and put the Jets team to bed. I think they will score 25 or more like they have in every win this season. And they become a not a real team in the sense like, oh, we're going to the playoffs. A real team in the sense that every other team shouldn't automatically be favored against the Panthers. So 25
or more. You shouldn't see the Vegas like lines drop.
Yeah, like
see
we, this just we should be favored at home against the Saints spread. Or yeah. Like teams like or like the Rams if they're injured or something. Like we should be favored in favorable matchups, you know.
And so I think that is I agree with you. Like beating the Jets puts at the rest because like if you don't beat the Jets this week, you have the Bills and the Packers. And it's very easy to start to go 3-6 then. And then before you're bye, you're having to play the 49ers and the Rams. And they might be injured enough to where you win those games or you can make them competitive. But you can fall in a hole very quickly. And that's why your next game is always your most important. And so I have really enjoyed Dave Canales being a man of his word. When he became the head coach, he said, we're going to be stubborn about running the ball. They've been stubborn about running the ball in this two-game win streak. I think that continues. I think we have a better rushing attack than the Cowboys did, and I think we're going to lean into that. And I think Bryce Young has the arm, and we have enough talent at the receiver spots that we can keep them honest on the back end to where we run for another 200-plus yards. And so I think between whether it's Chuba Hubbard, whether it's Rico Dowdle, whether it's Trevor Etienne, Bryce Young even, we get over 200 rushing yards and we get another victory on Sunday to make it 3 in a row since, I believe, what was it, 2021? Like, has it been that long?
That same season where we went 500, we started 3-0. It was against the Jets because Darnold won the opener against the Jets in that stadium. It was, I know we beat Houston that year because J.C. Horn got hurt in week 3. And I don't remember who was in the middle. It might have been the Falcons or the Saints. But it was that year, 2021. Matt Rhule's second season was the last time we won 3 in a row.
It was Jets, Saints, Texans. And then it was the Falcons and Cardinals to get above or get back to 500. So those
and then we lost the last 7 or something like that. Hopefully we don't experience any losing streak to that magnitude this season. Last season, I think it was 4 was the highest. It was the Andy Dalton final 4. No, it would have been 5 because Bryce started the Denver Broncos game. But hopefully we never see that again over the next couple of years. So you're saying a win and 200 rushing yards. I'm saying we score 25 or more and win as well. Hopefully this time next week, we are as jovial as we are today, celebrating another win and talking about what we can do to stifle the Buffalo Bills, who looked very bad last night on Monday Night Football. But until then, you can find us on Twitter, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and like what the Panthers should be doing, like what we've done the last couple of weeks, keep pounding.